I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news, and it's good news about our most important need, and that is salvation through Messiah Yeshua, the Lord Jesus. And this gospel, this good news, and this good news alone is the power of God to bring salvation to everyone who believes the message and becomes loyal to the three-in-one God, first to the Jewish people and then to the Gentiles. Shalom. This is Rabbi Loren coming to you live by Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael with Jesus Made Me Kosher. Well, today I want to talk about Bible prophecy regarding the people and the land of Israel. Some evangelical Christian leaders today are saying that because the majority of my Jewish people are in a state of unbelief, that we have no right to the land of Israel. We're there, but we have no right to it because we don't believe in the Messiah, at least not the majority of the Jewish people. Well, I don't believe that that's true, and here's why. The reestablishment of the nation of Israel in our ancient homeland is not a historical mistake. It is not an accident of history. God is at work. God is regathering his chosen people in fulfillment of a series of detailed prophecies that he gave us centuries and centuries ago. Words are important. Maybe not your words, but God's words are important. When God says something, it means something. Every word of God is divinely inspired, true, tried, tested, reliable. If God says something, he means it, and it will happen, and it will happen literally. The Messiah, the Son of God, who's infallible, taught that because it was divinely inspired, not even the smallest part of one Hebrew letter could be broken. And it hasn't been over the centuries. Messiah said, "Truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or even stroke of a Bible letter shall pass from the Torah, from the divine teaching, until everything is accomplished." Matthew 5:18. Messiah scolded the two on the road to Emmaus after his resurrection. You remember that? He's raised from the dead. It's the first day of his resurrection, and these two Jewish men are traveling to Emmaus, and the resurrected Messiah is traveling with them, and he's talking to them, and he says to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe everything that the prophets have spoken." Let me repeat that. How foolish you are, how slow you are to believe everything that the Jewish prophets, that which is written by Moses and the prophets, in other words, the Tanakh, the Old Testament, how foolish you are, how slow you are to believe everything that the prophets have spoken. He's rebuking them. Now, this is the resurrected Messiah. This is the Son of God. This is taking place after his resurrection, and after his rejection by the majority of the nation of Israel. And he is teaching these disciples of his that everything in the Old Testament, everything, all that the prophets have spoken, including the promises to the Jewish people in the future, will literally be fulfilled. He is teaching us that his rejection by the majority of the Jewish people did not annul any of God's promises to Israel. It doesn't matter that the majority of the Jewish people didn't understand that Jesus was the Messiah. What Messiah is saying that is that everything that the prophets have spoken will be fulfilled, and we are foolish if we do not believe everything that the prophets have spoken. Now, my question to you is, don't we need to have the same perspective? Don't we need to believe everything that the prophets have spoken? The entire Old Testament, the Tanakh, the Hebrew Scriptures. Don't we have to believe everything, every word, every jot, every tittle taken at its normally interpreted meaning that the prophets have spoken? Where does it say that we don't? Well, joining us right now is Rabbi Glenn. Shalom, Rabbi Glenn.
Shalom, Rabbi Lauren. Good to be with you.
And good to have you with us today. And Rabbi Glenn, we're talking to the Faith Talk 1500 audience about God's perspective on Israel.
Yeah, you know, we should have the same perspective that the prophets had. You and I and everyone at Shema consider the basic rule of interpretation, otherwise known as the golden rule of interpretation, to be the way we should handle the scriptures. If the literal sense makes sense, we should seek no other sense. Otherwise, we end up with nonsense. And so, therefore, we take every word in its primary, ordinary, usual, normal meaning, unless the facts of the immediate context, you know, studied in light of related passages and fundamental truths, clearly indicate otherwise. So when the prophets say that God is not through with his people, that he has good plans and purposes for the Jewish people, there is no reason for us to relegate that to allegory or to treat it as anything but an ironclad promise.
And again, well said, Rabbi Glenn. And again, I'm just going to repeat those words of the resurrected Son of God after he was rejected by the majority of our Jewish people. How foolish you are, how slow to believe everything that the prophets have spoken. What he's saying, Rabbi Glenn, is that everything that God said to the Jewish people, the Jewish prophets, will literally come true.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's nothing in these prophecies, and, you know, we talked about this the other day on Jesus Made Me Kosher. We were looking at, for example, Ezekiel chapter 36. There's nothing in the context of the normal literal meaning. There's no reason to try to insert or force some kind of symbol or figure of speech. You know, the Bible was written in the language of men. It was intended to be taken literally, of course, recognizing that there are uses of figures of speech. But, you know, those biblical symbols are usually explained either in the more immediate context or somewhere else in the Bible. And there really, Rabbi Lauren, is no reason for us to resort to guesswork. We really should believe what the prophets wrote and not try to reinterpret that.
Or allegorize it, or spiritualize it, or say that it's no longer relevant, or it no longer applies. How slow you are to believe everything that the prophets have spoken. Again, this is the resurrected Messiah upholding everything spoken by the Jewish prophets. And this is after his rejection by the majority of the Jewish people, after his resurrection. So he's saying that everything in the Old Testament is still literally true and needs to be applied in a straightforward way.
Yeah. Now, of course, Rabbi Lauren, there are exceptions. There are uses of symbols. You know, Revelation chapter 9:1 refers to a star, and it says the keys to the bottomless pit was given to him. Well, obviously, the star in this verse is not a literal, you know, star in one of the galaxies fueled by nuclear reaction. But figuratively refers to a being, a person, and in this case an angel. And yet just two verses earlier, Revelation 8:12, there is a reference to a star that literally refers to stars, just regular stars. And so you know, for our listeners, and I really have to believe, Rabbi Lauren, that we have a biblically astute audience. They understand that the context makes things obvious when a star is to be used literally or symbolically, and so with everything else. And, you know, there's no reason to read the word Israel, for example, and take it to mean church.
Exactly. And we are going to be looking at three prophecies, Ezekiel 36. We'll look at that again, Rabbi Glenn. Ezekiel 37, the vision of the Valley of Dry Bones, which is a prophecy of Israel's kind of national death and resurrection. And then Zechariah 12:10. And all three of these great prophecies tell us that the Jewish people would be back in our ancient homeland, first in a state of unbelief. God would scatter us to the nations. He would bring us back to our ancient homeland in a state of unbelief. And there he would reveal to us that Jesus is the Messiah.
These are powerful prophecies, and you and I feel very strongly that we need, as the people of God in the early days of the 21st century, but what we consider to be the last days, we need to be on the right page. We need to be, our heart needs to be beating with God's heart as we look at what these prophets had to say about Israel in Acharit HaYamim, the last days.
So if we approach the Word of God, that every word is true and important and divinely inspired, and that, you know, the golden rule of interpretation, if the literal sense makes sense, let us seek not any other sense, any non-literal sense, otherwise we wind up with nonsense. If we approach the Word of God in this way, we know that all the promises that God made to the Jewish people will literally be fulfilled sometime in the future.
Well said.
And why not? The Lord's promises have always been literally fulfilled. God promised Adam and Eve that the seed of the woman would come. He did. Noah was warned of a great flood that would destroy every living thing on earth. That flood came. Abraham's seed were promised a land. We received it. Moses was promised victory in leading Israel from Egypt. That happened. Rebellious Israel was warned of a coming dispersion because of our disobedience. It came. The destruction of the temple and of the nation was prophesied. That happened. Zechariah said King Messiah would come humbly, just, and endowed with salvation, and he would ride into Jerusalem on a donkey, and he did exactly that. The suffering, the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Son of God were all prophesied, and they all literally happened.
And so, you know, the question that needs to be addressed is, if these, and this was just the tip of the iceberg, if these and dozens of other prophecies like them were literally fulfilled, why would someone view the many remaining prophecies, namely about Israel's glorious future, in anything other than a literal sense? There's no reason, unless somebody's got an agenda, to view these prophecies that speak of Israel very clearly, with detail, speaking about a wonderful future after a time of suffering. There's no reason to take them in any way other than literally.
And again, these prophecies also say that Israel would first be back in the land of Israel in a state of unbelief, and that was God's plan. And that's God's will, and God is responsible for this ingathering, this regathering of unbelieving Israel, and God is doing that, and God is on the side of Israel, and God is involved in this regathering of unbelieving Israel.
Yes, and, you know, Rabbi Lauren, the land of Israel, and I made reference to this the other day, is so strategically located. God chose to put Israel exactly where he put her, as Ezekiel says, "Betoch Hagoyim," in the midst of the nations with lands around her. It's actually a land bridge between these three supercontinents, Africa, Asia, and Europe. But as the prophets and as Moses foretold, our lack of faithfulness caused our Jewish people to be exiled from the land of Israel, and that life in the diaspora, the Galut, being among the nations, would be very difficult and precarious. But he also promised, and this is Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, he promised that we would survive, and that happened. And Rabbi Lorne, it's happening again right now.
It is, Rabbi Glenn. And he also promised that spiritual restoration to God and physical restoration to the land of Israel would be starting to take place at the same time. Let me read a passage from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 through 5. This is the very end of Moses' life. These are some of his most important words. And he says, "When all these blessings and curses that I have set before you come on you," so first, there's going to be blessings within the land, and then there's going to be curses for disobedience and exile from the land. "When all these blessings and curses I have set before you come on you, and you take them to heart wherever the Lord your God disperses you among the nations, and when you and your rich children return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and with all your soul, according to everything I command you today, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where he scattered you." Let me repeat that. He will gather you again from all the nations where he scattered you, even if you have been banished to the most distant land under the heavens. From there, the Lord your God will gather you and bring you back. He will bring you back to the land that belonged to your ancestors, and you will take possession of it. And he will make you more prosperous and numerous than all your ancestors. Wow.
That's phenomenal. And Rabbi Lauren, it's happening right now. Some might argue, oh, that was only referring to the Babylonian and Assyrian captivities. But that's not true. It's happening right now. The Jewish people have been returning to the land since the late 1800s, 1870s or so. Israel is a wonderfully reestablished nation. It's a free, democratic, as much as is possible to be surrounded by enemies who hate you. They prosper. And even the Hebrew language has been resurrected from the dead. And there we are. Our people are in the land, continuing to observe some of those same customs and traditions that are from of old. Rabbi Lorne, we're in the land, but still waiting for certain things to happen.
We're in the land physically. God is in the process of restoring us physically to the land of Israel. And Rabbi Glenn, he's also in the process, as Deuteronomy 30 predicted, of restoring us spiritually. There is a growing spiritual restoration that is taking place simultaneously with this physical restoration to the land. The existence of a wonderful organization like Jews for Jesus and the Messianic Jewish Congregational Movement, more and more Messianic synagogues, Messianic congregations like ours in the Metro Detroit area, congregations now in Israel, Messianic synagogues here in the United States and throughout the world. It's happening right now, this physical restoration to the land and the spiritual restoration to the God of Israel.
That's right. And Rabbi Lauren, Ezekiel chapter 36 actually gives a sequence of events. The prophet spoke in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of God that we would come back to the land in a state of unbelief. And subsequent to that, God not only would be regathering us physically, but he would be the one who draws us to himself. You have some words for us from Ezekiel 36.
I do. Verses 1 through 12. "Son of man," this is God speaking to Ezekiel, "prophesy to the mountains of Israel and say, mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord." This is what the sovereign Lord says. "The enemy said about you, aha, the ancient heights have become our possession." So Rabbi Glenn, what the Lord is saying is that, and this is clearly, if you read Ezekiel 36 and 37 and 38 and 39 and 40 all the way to the end, 48, that whole section of Ezekiel is talking about the future. This is a future prophecy. And the Lord is saying that the enemies of Israel will claim that the land of Israel belongs to them. And the Jewish people have no right to the land of Israel, to which God is bringing us back. And the Lord is upset with that, Rabbi Glenn. He is offended by that. And he's on the side of Israel and this regathering process to our ancient land.
It's like a father who has a son who's done something wrong, something bad, and the father needs to punish him. How do you think that father is going to feel if the next-door neighbor decides to join in and wax his kid? This is my son. He's in trouble with me. Now you're in trouble with me.
That's right. Well, let's read a little bit more of Ezekiel 36, and we probably won't finish all of it, but we'll make a start. The Lord says, therefore prophesy and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says, because they ravaged and crushed you from every side, so that you became the possession of the rest of the nations and the object of people's malicious talk and slander. And Rabbi Glenn, isn't that exactly what the Jewish experience has been like for the past 2,000 years? Crushed from every side by the nations, ravaged, the possession of the rest of the nations, the object of people's malicious talk. Hasn't that been Jewish life for 2,000 years now?
It has been, and I wish it was limited to just Israel's enemies. Unfortunately, some people, even who name the name of Yeshua, want to relegate Israel to the ash piles of history and say God is done with them. Their land belongs to others. They have no rights. They have no relationship. There's no future for them with God. It's very frightening when I consider not just Israel's sworn enemies, but even those who would name the name of the Lord would suggest that God is done with the Jewish people.
Especially if they would just read Ezekiel 36 and Ezekiel 37, the vision of the Valley of Dry Bones, and Zechariah 12, and understand that we need to believe everything that the prophets have spoken. The resurrected Messiah said that, Rabbi Glenn, even after the majority of the Jewish people, did not recognize him at first. That does not annul anything that is written in the Tanakh, the Old Testament.
That's right. And, you know, when the prophet in verse 5 says that the Lord, in my burning zeal, I have spoken against the rest of the nations and against all Edom, for with glee and with malice in their hearts they made my land their own possession. And I think about whenever Israel has suffered indignities and violence, their enemies gloat over it and celebrate and dance in the streets and give candy to the kids. It's awful. But Rabbi Lauren, they are going to be on the wrong side of history when the Lord turns once again in his mercy and favor to the Jewish people and to Israel.
And Rabbi Glenn, we can't go any more into Ezekiel 36, but the Lord clearly says that he is on Israel's side in this dispute. He backs Israel's claim to the land and says this regathering of Israel to our ancient homeland is his doing. Well, we're out of time. Rabbi Glenn, today is Friday. The Sabbath is about to begin. We have wonderful Shabbat services tomorrow, and we want to make sure that we invite everyone who is interested to the worship services of Congregation Shema Yisrael. We are a Messianic Jewish community, but we're made up of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles. We are open to anyone who wants to investigate the claims of Jesus the Messiah, who wants to worship the three-in-one God of Israel within a more Jewish context and culture. Rabbi Glenn is our worship leader, so he'll be leading the worship team tomorrow, and he's also going to be giving the message from the Word of God. So I want to encourage everyone to feel free to visit us. We're at the facilities of Bloomfield Hills Baptist Church, which is on Telegraph Road, just more north of Long Lake in Bloomfield Hills, Saturday morning at 10:30. And so all from all of us who are part of Congregation Shema Yisrael, we want to wish you a Shabbat Shalom and a Shalom Shalom.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.